You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition. I'm Anthony Kasterman, joined by Dick Tagle, to talk about a Royals team that remains neck and neck with the Tigers as we head down into the final weeks of the season. It's going to be a really exciting time in the American League Central. That's a legit two-horse race, maybe even three-horse if the Indians can shake off some of their recent struggles against Detroit. But the Royals have obviously put themselves in a good position, and now it's going to be interesting to see how they rise to the occasion as far as a lot of those young guys playing in their first legit pennant race. So let's bring in Dick to talk about that. DK, first of all, we saw last weekend the series against the Indians that I guess we can almost call it a sweep. They still remains to be seen Kansas City's last at bat that they'll have in Cleveland on September 22nd to continue the suspended game. But it certainly was a rough weekend for them in front of some really big crowds, and invited the question from a lot of people: Is this team ready to handle that kind of pressure and the big crowds and the expectations and the pulse of the pennant race? What's your read on that?
Yeah, I don't think these largely young players, certainly salted with a lot of veterans. I don't think they're overawed by these big crowds. I think it's just kind of a coincidence that they happen to lose when they get 30,000 plus out there. I don't think you're awed by it. I think this is a pretty level-headed team. I don't think that they're shaken by being in a pennant race or anything like that. I think it's just happenstance that, oddly enough, they get a big crowd and they don't play that well. The problem, really, Anthony, has been the recent lack of offense, which was their problem earlier on in the season.
Right.
Then they hit that hot stretch and they were hitting well and everything was going great. And now they've just kind of hit one of those lulls. How baseball is. It goes in cycles, and I think they just hit one of those lulls where the offense just isn't quite up to snuff.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly a problem for a long stretch of the season. You don't expect that problem to completely go away. As hot as they were in August, they're definitely going to be tested here down the stretch, especially at a point where every out, every pitch matters so much. There's an extra intensity to that, and the good news there is their offense is a lot more whole now with Eric Hosmer coming back. A lot happened between July 31st when they found out for sure they're going to be without him for a few weeks, and September 2nd when he came back. Billy Butler took off, and Josh Willingham was added. So I guess the question with Hosmer is, how this is all going to work out, who's going to play where and when. Because Nori Aoki has also played better, in that stretch. So, as far as right field goes, getting Willingham there is maybe a challenge, or utilizing the DH spot with Butler and Willingham and Hosmer. Any good gut feeling on how it all shakes out?
Well, my gut feeling is you're going to see a lot of Eric Hosmer at first base. That's for sure. I think the imponderable really is how often Butler will be in there at DH. I think Billy's going to see quite a bit of action. Billy was hitting very well that month that Hosmer was gone. And I think Ned Yost is going to, as he always says, do matchups. And against certain right-handers, I think he'll play Raul Ibanez with his left-handed bat in there in the DH spot. I think most of the time, really, you're going to see Billy Butler in there at the DH, because Billy really turned it on in that month that Hosmer was gone, and I think Billy he can smell playoffs too. He's a very dedicated teammate, player, hitter. I think Billy's going to be all right this last month. The good news is Hosmer's back, but the good news is also that the pitching continue to be really good, and the three guys at the back end of the bullpen have just been dynamite. Unbelievable.
Yeah, they've been
Those three guys alone have made them one of the better bullpens in baseball, in my opinion. And Yost has, even taken to using them in some tie situations, instead of just preserving leads, but also just maintaining ties to give them a chance late. So that's led to some concern, I'm sure, about overwork. But those guys seem to they've held up very well.
Yeah.
I guess one nice thing is they call up the kid Brandon Finnegan. They just took 17th overall in the draft, and you don't expect him to be thrown right into high leverage situations by any means. But he's another nice arm for them potentially here down the stretch. A nice left-handed arm. Put up good numbers at TCU and put up good numbers in the minor leagues. And they kind of it's always interesting to see these teams in the playoff chase. It's kind of like all rules go out the window. You call that kid right up and get him in there because you need as many hot hands as possible.
Yeah, exactly. I was talking to Ned Yost about that the other day, and I said, Ned, it's kind of unusual to bring up a kid like Finnegan, who's just drafted this year, a kid like Terrence Gore, who started out the year in Class A, as a pinch runner. But he said they're here because they're good at something.
Yeah,
and they could fit in a certain niche going down the stretch. Finnegan is a good left-handed pitcher. He may fit as a lefty specialist after he gets a couple of games under his belt going down the stretch. Terrence Gore, they say, is the fastest guy in baseball, faster than Jerrod Dyson or anybody else, as they say. And he can serve a very useful spot as a pinch runner, in the late innings for some of these middle of the batting order guys who don't run too well. So, everybody they brought in, they've got 36 guys on the roster now. Everybody they brought in can serve a certain spot.
That would be interesting to see line up Gore and Dyson and Billy Hamilton, maybe D. Gordon. Get those guys lined up and have a little foot race, huh? But actually, I like Gore wears number zero. I like that about him.
Yeah, well.
You don't see too many zeros.
That may represent his time from home plate to first base. I don't
think. Could be. DK, I also want to ask about Salvador Perez. A couple weeks back there was some worry about his knee, and they did the MRI, and thankfully that came back all right, and he hung in there. And just a difference. This guy makes, not just offensively, obviously, but behind the plate. I saw Jim Leland called him the Pudge Rodriguez of today, which is obviously a very high compliment. The work he does with the pitchers and also throwing out opposing base runners. And, Royals fans know this like the back of their hand by this point. But it's certainly nice when a team like this gets into a situation like this where their games attract so much more national interest to it. More people get a chance to see this kid and just how special he is behind the plate.
Well, he is very special, obviously. Such a big guy, he's 6'3" and 250 yeah. pounds. But so agile behind the plate and so quick. It's just amazing. And his feet move quickly. His arm is a cannon. He gets off those snap throws, for pickoffs and just amazing. And beyond all that, he's very smart and he calls a great game. The pitchers love to pitch to him. And, he smothers the balls and it's just unbelievable. On top of everything else, he hits. He's got a good power and just this week he's come through with some big clutch hits. So the kid is, he's happy, he's outgoing, he's smiling, he's got the belly laugh, the big voice, the booming voice. He's a team leader at a very young age. I think he's still 23. So, Salvador Perez is a very special kind of player.
Well, it's a special time of year. Are you seeing a lot of, are you sensing or seeing a lot of scoreboard watching in general and keeping their eyes on especially a week like this where the Tigers and Indians are playing each other? I'm sure there's kind of one eye on what they have to do, but also one eye on what's going on there as well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. They pay attention. I know Jeremy Guthrie, after he pitched the other night, and Detroit was playing in Cleveland. He was in the clubhouse after he got his seven innings finished and was watching the end of that game, you know, while I was keeping an eye and an ear on what was going on outside of Kauffman Stadium. So, yeah, these guys, they're very well aware of what Detroit and Cleveland are doing. That's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Well, definitely looks like it come down to the wire. So we'll see how it shakes out for the Royals. And I want to thank Dick Cagle for joining us. And thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royal.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.